We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There's so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we've carved out a space just for you, the creative entrepreneur making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is much that we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. This week, I am taking you behind the scenes of our recent rebrand. We not only announced that we changed the name of my company this week, but we also built out a brand new website that is going to serve all of you better. Yesterday on episode 101, we talked about why I chose to change my company name from Trade Show Bootcamp to Proof to Product. So if you haven't caught that episode yet, I encourage you to go and start there. Today, Caroline Hull of Caroline Creates is interviewing me for our second part in the series. And today we're specifically talking about the logistics of making a name change. So business formation, legal decisions, and marketing changes, and also some logistics about the website as well. Tomorrow on episode 103, we will dive into our marketing plan for how we are rolling out this name change and the new website. And I'll tell you how you can also get involved to celebrate with us. Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out our new online home at proof2product.com. And I hope you enjoy these episodes.
Okay, so let's dive into logistics. So you've done the back work, you've decided what the name is going to be, you're ready to go. Like, how did you even start? I feel like this is such a massive project. Like, how did you even find somebody to help you build out this website?
Yeah, so first I started with our project manager. Well, she's my operations manager, Megan. We sat down and kind of mapped out what all was going to go into this transition. And that included the tech stuff, as well as the legal stuff and the business formation. And then we kind of divided and conquered. So I did interview, I remember back in 2017, I had interviewed all sorts of web developers and stuff. So there were a few people I went and got refreshed proposals from. But we ended up going with somebody new who was strong in Squarespace. I had worked with a friend of a friend of mine. Her name is Susanna, and we'll link her in the show notes. She's wonderful. So once we settled on the web developer, I knew Megan was going to manage that whole part of the project. I wrote all the copy, but we have like an arsenal of images and video and all these other things. So Megan knew where all that stuff was. So basically, Megan and Susanna are working on that piece of it. Meanwhile, actually, there's one other person on the tech side. I hired Myrna from Myrna & Co. to do our SEO stuff. So she specializes, and again, guys, I'll drop all these links. We'll put them in the show notes so you can find these people. But Myrna basically started with an audit of Trade Show Bootcamp online and saw like what keywords were people finding us from, how long were people staying on the site, what were they searching for and everything. And it was actually really interesting. My name and Proof to Product and Paper Camp were coming up as higher rankings than the name Trade Show Bootcamp.
How interesting.
In Google. And so actually, I don't know if Proof to Product was on there, but definitely my name and Paper Camp were like top of the list in terms of how people were finding us, which made me a little more relieved too, because it's like, well, my name's not changing and Paper Camp's not changing. And so, you know, that gave me a little bit like, oh, okay. So it's not just by searching Trade Show Bootcamp that they're finding us.
Yeah, I recently had somebody do an analysis of my website too, and I cannot recommend it enough. It's so fascinating because usually like what you think people are finding you for is different. They'll go through like the backlinks and see like who's linking back to you. And it's just, it's really fascinating. It helps you know like what direction you need to go with your copy and your tags and all that stuff. But then it also like, it tells you, okay, where maybe there are some opportunities you're missing. So
absolutely. Yeah. Not only opportunities you were missing, but we also, you know, going into this website project, we had 200 blog posts and close to 100 podcast episodes at that time. So that's a lot of content that has to be migrated over. Now, all of the podcasts are going over, but I looked through all of the blog posts and looked at the traffic of like how many people were really looking at these things. And we narrowed it down to our top performing content. And I think we're moving over 25 or 26 posts
that
are the most like read and important and, you know, drive the most traffic or pull the most traffic, I guess. And then the rest we're going to repurpose or redirect later. But if it gave us an opportunity to go back and look at what's working and what's not working and then trim the fat of like, I mean, posts I wrote in 2015 that are no longer relevant. Like, well, let's get rid of those, you know? So
yeah,
that's been really eye-opening as well.
Can I ask a platform question?
Sure.
What made you decide to go from WordPress to Squarespace, just out of curiosity?
Yeah. You know, our website has been hacked like 4 different times on WordPress. And
what?
Yeah, and I've paid a lot of money over the years to have people help fix it. And part of it, I think once it was broken the first time, I think we had – this is me speculating, but I felt like we had holes in the site after that and people would find ways to get back in. And so one of my motivations for wanting a new site was just a clean slate. Like I wanted to start over on a new host where it was secure and everything would feel good. Now, nothing was – we don't run credit cards or anything through our site, so nothing was taken during those hacks. It was more that they were just redirecting pages to, you know, Viagra.com and stuff.
So weird.
I'll never forget. It was New Year's Eve one night when my site was down. I found out my site was down because somebody emailed me. And my husband and I celebrated with the kids, got them to bed, and then got online and we're like fixing the website. Happy New Year. But yeah, so WordPress has always felt kind of clunky to me. It's felt a little bit intimidating to me. I feel like, I don't know, there's just certain processes we have through the WordPress site that just felt a little more laborious than they needed to be. And so there were a couple of things I really liked about the WordPress site. You know, I wanted to use Pat Flynn's Smart Podcast Player for our show, which allows people to search more easily through all the episodes. But ultimately, it came down to ease of use. And also, I want my team or an admin or a VA or somebody to be able to do updates for us. And that's just easier for them to do in Squarespace. I know there's people out there that specialize in WordPress. But for us, after I agonized over this for a couple months, actually, of like which platform is better and talked to a lot of people. And we ultimately decided that we're going to go to Squarespace. And they could – it checked the boxes. It could do all the things we needed it to do.
Well, I think that's really important because if your platform is like hard to work with or you don't feel comfortable in it, like you'll never go into it or you'll be afraid to make changes, because I know that's how I am sometimes with my WordPress site. So
And I've gotten a lot more confident over the years because now we've been in it so much.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, I'm trying to take myself out of a lot of the day-to-day maintenance. I mean, our podcast, for example, Allie does all of our updates for us, you know, on the site.
Right.
So making sure that we have a system that anybody would feel – and we have tutorials and things like that in our Dropbox where I want anyone to be able to step in and do stuff. And I feel like that's just a little more easy on Squarespace.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important. Like you just don't think about all these little things that you need to think about. And thinking about something like that is really important as you move forward and your business grows, for sure.
I think, too, I had a lot of misconceptions about Squarespace. I felt like I had a lot of people tell me, you are going to outgrow Squarespace so fast and because you have too much content and this and that. I actually went onto their website and talked to their customer service people. I said, people keep telling me I'm going to outgrow this. What do they mean by that? How could I possibly outgrow your, you know? And the guy said, you can have unlimited pages. You can have unlimited content. I don't understand how you would outgrow it. So I guess from a functionality standpoint, if you need a lot of bells and whistles, you know, WordPress does have that flexibility. But frankly, we don't. We don't need all that.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys pulled together all the material. You had all the images, the copy, everything ready to go. Yeah. What was the process like finding an actual web designer?
It was long. And so when I first started looking for developers way back in, I guess it was 2017, I got several bids and they range from like 25, same spec sheet, by the way, same, here's what we need for the site, tell me what it'll cost. Ranged from like $2,500 to like $35,000 were the bids I got, which is, how do you even know at that point? Like who, you know, I don't know. It was just crazy. And so this next time I did go back to a handful of the people that I felt like I had a good I did calls with everybody too. So we got the proposals. I did calls with them and a couple of them I felt good about, but we didn't end up hiring. We hired that one person who it didn't work out. So when we were going through this next round, I limited the number of people I talked to like 3. And I went back to a lot of it had to do with timing, who was available, what the price was, and also where I felt like we had the best collaboration.
Right.
I had done so much work. I had wireframed the whole thing. I knew exactly what I wanted on the site. So I just needed somebody that could build it and use our – we had a brand guide with our colors and everything. Like I just needed somebody that could do really incorporate their design and have like add the creative component and really make our content jump off the pages. And so,
yeah,
you know, some of the developers specialize in strategy and conversions and all these other things. And some are excellent designers. I needed somebody that was kind of a hybrid of customer experience and just a really strong designer.
Mm-hmm. So you said you did calls with all of them and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. when you talk about like somebody that you want to collaborate with, like, how do you know that that's the person? Like, is it just a feeling you get? I mean, I'm thinking about looking at all these proposals, seeing all these prices, being overwhelmed. Like, I wouldn't even know when I started talking to the person if how they would be the right person.
Yeah. I mean, I asked a lot of questions. I asked about their process. I asked about their communication, how they communicate with clients. I asked about their turnaround times and how often do they stick to their proposal schedule or do they veer from that? And two, the other thing is I empathized with these people because I said, look, I understand this is a two-way street and that you sometimes have your hands tied if I'm not giving you the copy or the images or whatever the assets are that you need. So I tried to make it very clear to them too, like, we're excited for this project. We're motivated. We will be attentive. We will be responsive. So it was kind of just – it was a gut thing, but it was also just trying to make sure that we were in alignment about – the project and how it would unfold and that the communication style worked for me and that I like their design style. And to me, I did tell a few of them, I'm like, I know our site will be beautiful. I'm not worried about that. I want to make sure that it functions well, that it serves our audience, that it's fast. Our current site right now is not fast. And so there were some things like that. And if I felt any hesitation from them or like, you know, then I was like, okay, well, why is that? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we need a list of your questions that you asked. Can you please pass those around?
Exactly. I know. But it's like anything you're hiring for, you know, you want to make sure that it's a good fit, whether it's a long-term position, a retainer position, or even just a per project. You know, you want to make sure you're getting the right people on the bus.
Absolutely. But
I also wanted to make sure that whoever we hired would be comfortable with me bringing in somebody else to help with SEO and all of that, because I did make it very clear, like, we're switching platforms, we're switching domains, like, we need SEO help. So if you can't do that, we're going to bring somebody else in. And I need you to be comfortable with that too. So
yeah, absolutely. So how did you like set a timeline for this? Once you kind of started and you had the person picked, I mean, I'm sure that you probably had like a goal in mind, like, I want to be launched by this time. But what is kind of like, what was kind of realistic and how did that meet your expectations?
Yeah. The time, I was unrealistic in my timeline at the beginning, and our designer, Susanna, basically said, that's not going to happen. Like, I can't start then, and we need more time to actually do this. And the other thing is, too, Megan and I are set, my ops manager, are really in alignment. So we meet every week and talk about everything that we're working on in the business, but that's been the, you know, primary project. So we've talked about timing. Like, are we going to hit this? Are we not going to hit it? I think with anything in business, we have to be flexible, you know, and we are having to make some adjustments here or there. But I didn't want it to drag on. I didn't want it to be like a year-long project. And that's where I think it's really, for the website in particular, that's where it's on me to make sure that I'm giving them everything they need so they can move quickly on it. The other thing is, while we were in the midst of doing this site and rebuilding the site, I was also working on legal changes and talking to my attorney about trademarks and stuff. And so there were many pieces happening. We were also building out the marketing plan. And so there were a lot of things happening concurrently. We were also running Paper Camp and the conference and, you know, podcast was still going. So it was a balance between keeping the engine running for everything that was already going, but then making sure we were staying on track with all the new stuff for the rebrand too.
Yes, I feel that. I feel that as I'm starting to plan my rebrand, I think that's what feels really overwhelming to me is like, there's so many things to do. So how can I do all of that on top of, like you said, maintaining the business? But I think also like what's important is kind of breaking it up into manageable chunks.
Absolutely.
And so, and like you have Megan on your team to help, and I am going to have a VA who's going to be helping me. And I think sometimes when you have these big projects that take up so much time, it's really nice to have that help for sure.
It is. And I will say it's a huge team project. I mean, Megan's helping, our ops manager, and then Brittany, who does PR for us, has been helping. Allie, our marketing admin's been helping. You know, you've been keeping the podcast going. There's like so many different people. Melissa was helping with Paper Camp and everything. Like, everyone had their piece, and it wouldn't have been possible without everybody. Like, there's no way I could have done this on my own.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting too? Like, as your business grows, I feel that way. Like, probably like 4 years ago, I could have handled like a rebrand and a new website all by myself. But yeah. Now, like, there's no way. Yeah. I just don't have the time. I just simply don't have the time. And so that it's really important to me as well, you know, having somebody on my team who gets that vision and who understands as we push forward.
Totally.
I want to go back to some of the legal stuff you talked about. Talk to us about this whole trademark situation.
Okay. So I want to preface this part of the conversation by saying I am not an attorney and I sought out legal help from a licensed attorney. So if you are considering changing your name or doing any of these things, definitely talk to somebody. So I approached an attorney about it and I said, look, we're planning to change our name. Because this is already a program and Proof to Product is already part of my brand, but it's not trademarked, we did trademark Proof to Product. And we started that process maybe in December, like well before we even started the website, months before we ever started the website. So the attorney was actually one of the first people I called because I said, here's what I'm planning to do. Because let me back up a little bit here. Trade Show Bootcamp is an LLC. So it's Trade Show Bootcamp LLC. It's here in California. And I wasn't sure if we had to create a new LLC for Proof to Product or if we could have it underneath the Trade Show Bootcamp LLC. I also worried, like, does that make it messy if the LLC is one name but we're doing business as another name? So the way the attorney broke it down for me is she said we could create a new LLC. The options were we could create a new LLC, Proof to Product LLC, and have that be the new business. But with that, I would have to set up new bank accounts. I would have to change, like, our Stripe, our PayPal, everything and anything, right? I'd have to go and change that. And we'd have to create a new operating agreement and like take that to the bank to change the bank account and all that stuff. That also meant if we changed the bank account, changing over anything that was auto pay or, you know, just
yeah.
It felt very overwhelming. So that was option number one. Option number two, she told me, is that we could keep Trade Show Bootcamp LLC and we could file a DBA, a doing business as. And so that's what the route we took. Basically, we filed a DBA. So we will be doing business as Proof to Product, but the parent company is still Trade Show Bootcamp LLC. So I won't have to change the bank accounts. I won't have to, like, when we send out invoices and things, I think we do need to change it to Proof to Product or Trade Show Bootcamp LLC DBA Proof to Product is what it will say. But the paperwork and the logistics around doing the DBA were much simpler than creating a new LLC and then having to close the other LLC. Now, that's what was easiest and best for me and my company. I imagine there's probably circumstances where it would make sense for somebody to kind of like close one down and start anew. But for us, that's what we chose. It was the simplest and easiest and least expensive and time-consuming way for us to go about doing it.
Yeah. So then do you still have to change your name on like your Stripe and PayPal and all of those places? So you're able to just leave all that then?
We're able to leave all of that. So it can stay Trade Show Bootcamp LLC because all of those were set up with our LLC paperwork and all that stuff. And that's still our business.
Right.
Formation, basically, our name. And so we're just in the world doing business as Proof to Product. And so you can have one LLC that has a bunch of different DBAs. So if you wanted to have multiple brands under one corporation or LLC, you could do that. And that's how people do it through DBAs.
So how long did the trademark take?
Yeah, so the trademark was a separate project. We did start that a long time back too. And that was more about I had her check that when we were talking about switching the name because I wanted to make sure nobody else had that name out. We had done this when we started the podcast in 2017, like did the name search to make sure we weren't conflicting with anybody, but we didn't trademark it at that time because it wasn't something like it was a free podcast. It wasn't something that had products or had a sellable service with it. Right. And now it will be. And so we had her do the logo and word marks, and I'm probably butchering the what this is called. So we had her do the word mark and the other, and and she just did a search too. We only did it here in the US. We didn't do it all over the place, but she seemed to think that would be fine. So, yeah.
And so did you have your trademark and your DBA done before the website, or you said you started the trademark before?
Yeah. So the trademark is in process. That takes some like months sometimes. It usually takes months to do. So we started that before we started the website. The DBA was done concurrently as we were building out the site because that was just here locally, going to the county clerk and filing it. Yeah, it's been interesting because, as I said, a lot of these pieces are happening simultaneously. I think the website feels like the biggest visibility piece because it's our new home online and we're an online business. Right. And so that's felt the biggest. But the other thing is, like, you gotta, if anyone's considering changing a name like this, you wanna make sure you have your ducks in a row, that your business is being treated like a business. And if you need to change your LLC or file a DBA or change your bank accounts or whatever it is, like, you wanna make sure you get that right before you launch this thing. So.
Yeah, I just made a scary face because I just.
You did.
There's just so many pieces.
Yeah.
For instance, the other day I realized I was going to have to, because, like, if you change your email, like, you'll probably, are you going to change your email address?
We are, yeah.
Yeah. And so then I was like, oh, shoot, now I have to change, like, my Google Docs or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know. Like, there's just, it's so funny. Like, when you've been doing business as one name for so long, the number of places you use that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've started keeping a list. I don't know how you guys even tackled that.
Yeah. Same thing. I just, like, anytime anything would come to mind. Well, actually, what I did was I went back to, like, when you're starting a business, that list of, like, okay, all the things you need to do when you're starting business, because essentially that's kind of what we're doing. And
right.
Even though this is a, you know, 8.5-year-old business, but so I did that. But anytime anything would come to mind or we'd be talking about something on a call, I added it to my notebook on my desk, but we do have an Asana board for the rebrand in general for all those pieces. And then we have a Trello board that our designer set up for the website. So it's in two different places, but that's mainly because we have our team's hub for all things. And then we've got like the hub for the website specifically. So,
yeah. So besides the website and just getting the name changed, is there anything else that's been, like, time consuming for you, or you feel like logistically has been a huge time suck?
Well, the marketing, building out the marketing strategy, which I know we're going to talk about in a little more depth later, that has been a big time suck for me, which is ironic because I've done this for other people. Like, I've done this build out of how are you going to make this shift for other people? But it's so hard to do for yourself sometimes, you know? So,
yeah, for sure.
I've been, like, mapping out my plan for a long time. And then I ran it by, you know, my mastermind group that I'm in, my peer group. And I, you know, Megan and I worked on it. And I did hire a copywriter to help with some emails and things that we're doing. I think the biggest sense of overwhelm came from just all the little bitty pieces that have to get done. And my concern is when we started this whole thing, I was concerned, oh my God, I'm going to drop balls. Like, there's going to be things I forget. And now as I've gotten into it, I'm kind of like, well, then it'll be a phase two thing. Like, if we don't switch over the email addresses right away, that's okay. Like, we will.
Right.
But maybe that's not a phase one thing, you know? So.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's really key. Like, you do the best you can, right? You get the big pieces done and out there. And then if there are other things that you can tackle, you can do those later. It always reminds me of that phrase, go ugly early.
Yep.
You know, like, sometimes you just have to push it out there and get it out in front of the public and then figure out the rest.
So. Totally. Yeah. I agree with that too. One other thing that overwhelmed me too was when we first started talking about the marketing plan for this whole rollout, I had such big visions. I wanted to do multiple podcast interviews. I wanted to do some videos. I wanted to, you know, bring in our community. I wanted to do a big new, like, giveaway or a course that we'd launch. I had grand plans.
Yeah.
And as we started getting into the weeds of all the steps that went into this, I realized, like, I was being overly ambitious and I had to start stripping things away. And so one thing I would tell people, whether it's a rebrand or, you know, you're launching a new site or whatever it is that you're doing, like, definitely take that time to dream big and map out all your big wish list of what you would do if time and money and everything were no option. But then as you start to get into it, like, don't be afraid to pull things back, because as I say at Paper Camp all the time, like, nobody knows what you had planned and what didn't go as planned. Nobody, you know, so even if you strip a lot of this stuff away, it's still going to be a really great announcement. It's still going to be a really exciting thing for everybody to be involved in. So,
Yeah. And I think that goes back too, to what we were talking about like hiring help and having a timeline, but like also being realistic with yourself about your time.
Yeah.
And what can you accomplish? What are the higher priority items? You know, like you said, the giveaway isn't as important as just getting the website up.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, being realistic with yourself is really important as you're moving forward in that project too.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm off to make my list now, Katie.
Nice. I think it's easy to get overwhelmed with this stuff. And I've definitely felt overwhelmed at times. But I think it's just remembering the why. Why am I doing this? Who am I doing it for? What is this going to – what results will it create for everybody and me?
Yeah. What's the bigger picture?
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome.
You could probably hear the nerves in my voice as I was talking. This has been such an amazing project to work on, you guys, but it has been a long time coming, and we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate with you, because our Proof to Product community would not be what it is today without all of you, our listeners, our speakers, our sponsors, and all the students who have trusted us to play a small part in their business. So here is how you can get involved in this celebration. Film an Instagram story talking about why you do the work you do. Tell us your name, your company, and tell us about the products that you sell and some successes that you've had. It can be as long or short as you want, but at the end, say, I am Proof to Product. And when you post it online, make sure to tag me at Proof to Product and use the hashtag I am Proof to Product, and we will share it on our feed. All of us are doing amazing things in our businesses, and we want to celebrate you and our community and how together we all rise. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proof2product.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.